Thank you for tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And once again, we're in Lesson 41, and as we're going through the book of Matthew in a dispensational view, I just want to recap last week just for a second. You learned some things, and we taught some things here about the parable of the sower. Remember, this was, to me, when we went over this, it opened up some other doors in a way that, like, wow. You know, you can read and read and read and understand some things, but when God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, when He's going through the book of Matthew, you have to remember Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as who? King. And everything that God is doing with the little flock and with the nation of Israel in the book of Matthew is pertaining to a future kingdom over here. It has nothing to do with what's going on today. It had nothing to do with what He was going on that day. But you understand that God, through Jesus, was working in a way that He was, by chapter 13, He's already separated Himself from the nation Israel. Okay? He already separated Himself from the nation that was supposed to pertain and do the will of God. They became apostate. They became defectors of the truth. They have departed from the truth. And so Jesus Christ is now working through the little flock, and He's taking that little flock, and it's His Father's good pleasure to give to you, talking to the little flock, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom, okay? Now, with that being in mind, He no longer deals with just talking with everybody. He's talking with parables. And a parable is just to show that He's talking to the one that believes, not the one that don't believe. So when we went through chapter 13, verses 19 through 23, there was a parable of the seed sower. We're in chapter 13, verse 19. And I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to hit the high point, wayside. That's what He's talking about in that verse. You see there? This is He which receives seed by the wayside. And that wayside, as we broke it down last week, I just want you to keep this in memory. Because it's very, very important that what Jesus Christ did with the little flock and trying to share to the little flock that what's going to happen and what's going to pertain to when He's gone. This is the object of the parables that He's teaching. He's going to teach the little flock with the absence when He's gone. Does He not leave soon? Don't He die? Was buried and rose again? And He don't come back for a while, does He? Okay? And He's teaching that little flock what to do in His absence. So that's what this is all about. So the wayside, the man hears the word, but is not mixed with faith. So the Antichrist comes over here, and ages come, and takes the word out of the way. That's the wicked one, is Satan. See, so there's people out here that are spreading the word, and before it lands on the wayside, and the wicked one comes down and takes the word away. So it's not in their hearts, it's not by faith. Then in verse 20 and 21, you have the stony ground. See, it's stony places. See that in verse 20? But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places. You had this is a man receives the word with joy, but is not rooted in the heart. He understands, however, when trouble comes, he is unable to endure to the end. It's just falling on stony ground. Then verse 22, the thorny ground. This man receives the word, but his cares of the world and its riches gets opposition from the flesh. He has some fruit, but never develops maturity. Boy, I know a lot of people like that today. Then you think the good ground, verse 23. The man hears, understands, and bears fruit. And in Revelations 2 and 3, the fruit is bearing is an issue in the tribulation period. Those 144,000 goes over and preaches. It falls on good ground for the ones that hears it, and they start bearing fruit. So it's very, very important to understand that that parable of seed sower there has to do with what's going on over there. Now we're in verses 24 through 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, they appeared to then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, doest not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath its tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and then the time of harvest I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now here's a parable, a second type of parable that the Lord Jesus Christ interprets is about the tares among the wheat. The parables are based on the kingdom of God. You got to remember that. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. This one refers to what the life will be like for the little flock during the Lord's absence from amongst them. He's trying to explain to them what's going to go on. The interpretation begins in verses 36 through 43. When Jesus comes back into the house. Remember back there in the first part of this chapter? What did he do? He left the house, didn't he? So after this second parable, guess what he does? He comes back into the house, verses 36 through... I'll just read that first one. Verse 36 says, Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares and of the field. So he's going to explain to that what has happened, but he comes back into the house with the disciples. Now let me ask you something. When you read this, Jesus Christ is the who? He's the sower. He's the Son of Man. Okay, that's what it's going to talk about. Go to Daniel chapter, hold your finger and go to Daniel chapter 7. Is Jesus Christ the Son of Man? Is he Son of God? Absolutely. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Who's coming like a cloud here? The Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the feet, his foot, and girt with about the paps with a golden girdle. And then chapter 14, verse 14, talks about the same thing. The Son of Man is a special title for Jesus Christ of his role as being the Messiah. The Jewish religion had a was upset about that, about him being the Son of Man and the Son of God, because they know who the Son of Man is. It's the Messiah. And we also know by this time they have rejected who Jesus Christ is. Christ at this time is preparing the little flock for the ministry and is absent. After the crucifixion, the scope of the ministry is the entire world. You with me? Right now, who's the focus is at? It's for that little flock. feeding them and feeding that nation of believers. But after he leaves, death, burial, resurrection, don't Peter go to, Peter starts his ministry in that, the fact that he's wanting to get the little flock in the in that church, right? Get them to, and then where was their message to go? Will you believe that? Absolutely. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 14 says, afterward he appeared unto the 11. And he sat at the meat and upbraided them and with their unbelief, hardness of heart, because they believed not them which he had seen him after he was risen. That's not a good thing, is it? Verse 15, and he said unto them, who's them? Okay, very good. Got to stay with the context here, right? Because people will make that out to be who? You. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you think about that. That's a commission, isn't it? So when he's gone, he's telling them to go into all the world. Now, would the world be this green, green grass of home?
No.
It's the world or the people in the world. It's mankind. And as we was going through Romans this morning, I looked at that when Paul says that, it's mankind. But I got to ask you this. If he told them to go to all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom to every creature, go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Get Colossians chapter 1. I posed this question out to some of you this week in regards to telephone calls. And I'm a firm believer of the Bible. I believe the Bible says what it means and means what it says. And if he told them in Mark 16, 15, to go preach the gospel came to every creature, that's mankind, right? That's not little birds and chickens and all that stuff. It's mankind. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. In Matthew chapter 24, when we get over, you're going to find out they're asking, the disciples are asking Lord Jesus Christ some questions here. You know, they're like, okay, you're going to die, and you promised us a kingdom, and you promised us we're going to do it, but you're going to die. We just don't understand. So verse 14 says, and the gospel, and this gospel of the kingdom. Well, look at verse 3 over here, because you got to get the question. Yeah, verse 3, 24:3. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? They want to know that. So he tells them a bunch of things, but down here, verse 14, he says, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations. Correct? Isn't that what he told them, Mark over here, Mark 16, 15? Then shall the end come. I have no issue with that. Do you? You believe that? Me too. In Mark 16, he tells them, go to preach every creature. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, I listened to a preacher that talks about after Christ died, buried, rose again, he goes to Peter, James, and John, and they're preaching a message. Then he continues that message with Apostle Paul and Barnabas and Silas. And they go on through, and they're preaching, and as if there's no other gospel, there's one gospel. And you know what gospel means? Good news, right? It's just some good news. He's preaching the gospel, and he makes no distinction. Now, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If you go on that line of thinking, there's a continuation of that church that they started in the wilderness, according to what Stephen says in Acts chapter 7. And they add it to the church in Acts chapter 2. It don't say add to the body of Christ, the church. It says to the church they add it to. So something was already established. You with me? I think we understand that. Then he says in verse 23, if ye continue in faith, grounded and settled. That's big. That's something to think about. If you continue in faith and grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. You see that? Did Paul just say that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven?
His gospel.
Well, just a second though. I'll set you up to the fact that saying, okay, people say there's only one gospel. People say that there's only one message. People say, and when you read that Jesus Christ instructed the 12 to go, the gospel of the kingdom, to preach to every creature, then you find out in Matthew chapter 24 that the gospel of the kingdom was preached to every nation and all that stuff, then the end shall come. Then you get over here, Paul, the apostle to the body of Christ, and they say that the gospel has been preached to every creature. You may be scratching your head right now if you're a Bible believer. Because you would wonder, with those three verses that we just read, Mark 16, Matthew 24, Colossians chapter 1, you would think there's a contradiction in your Bible. But Jack then gave us the answer. It's a different gospel. It has to be a different gospel. Because why? Because why ain't it? My question would be, why ain't it income, guys? It hasn't been preached everywhere, but Paul's gospel has. And if you think about the gospel that was given to Paul, it's been preached to every creature. Every person had an opportunity, what I believe, had to have the opportunity to hear a clear, simple gospel that saves them in the dispensation of grace. Everybody had an opportunity at one time. So when you hear about the grace movement, or you hear about the dispensation of grace and how we believers believe through the Apostle Paul, the message for day, they look at you like, how long has your church been around? You know what I'm saying? Who are you? Where are you at in church history? You know who writes church history? Come straight from Rome. And you will not find yourself in that history book. So meetings like we have, churches like we have, I don't get discouraged anymore. You know, like, is anybody going to remember me? You know, I don't think about that. You have a different message. You know who you are in Christ. And as God, through Jesus Christ, picked out that little flock, was they hundreds, millions, and millions? Just a small group of people. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. I just want to point that out to you because you, as a Bible believer and a Bible student, you need to understand those things, because if you talk to people, these are some good questions to ask people. Okay, the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world, and then the end shall come. Paul says the gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. Hey, brother, white income. Just ask that question. You'll find how ignorant he is.
There was no United States of America 2,000 years ago. It was strictly to the Middle East and the nations that joined in that particular time of history. That gospel could not go to the United States. They hadn't even had a boat big enough to go there.
Well, I'm not so much declaring that, because I do know if civilization had a chance to hear it.
Yeah, right.
You know, and God clearly put it through His the Word of God, when it goes out, it does not come back void.
Right.
Now, you may reject it, but I know what you're saying. You know, American Indians, did they know His gospel?
Yeah. You know, exactly. When you said that, they got that in history. Whenever that fellow, what was it, one of those Baptist people said, can you imagine the millions of Indians that's never heard the gospel of the kingdom? They're bringing that thing. You know.
Well, here's what I think about that, too. There's people with... A missionary does a good job. But you got a mission in your own backyard.
Right.
I know this neighborhood that we live in right now, half of them have never heard the gospel, the grace of God. That you know what I mean? So if you want to send your money to places, send to Canton Grace Fellowship, P.O. Box. I'm just joking. You know? But look, think about this. The cities, I think about this area, has nationalities from all over the world. Wouldn't it be so much easier that you take this message and teach somebody from Ethiopia, right here, and they take it to their homeland? Instead of you going over there and, well, hey, I need more money over here, the card's running out. What have you done with it? Well, you know, we're just sitting around the campfire. You know, I'm just being honest with you. But Luke 24. It was serious with the Lord Jesus Christ when His scope of His ministry is to the entire world after He's absent. That world being mankind, not being the United States of America or South Africa. It's mankind. You can't get that geographical in your mindset. It's mankind, because if Paul was in these big cities like Corinth and Crete and all these, they was harbors. And if he was sitting there preaching the gospel and that sailor heard that message and he sailed, you know, to China and he believed it, he's going to share that message with somebody. That's what I believe. God didn't just send up smoke signals. Yeah. Okay. Luke 24:27. And the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Talk about the Son of Man now. Talk about the scope of the ministry, how it's affecting them. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Now we know the Lord Jesus Christ has already died, was buried, and rose again. And in verse 6 he says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to the body of Christ?
Israel.
Who's this say? Israel. That's the first question they want to know after they got them back together. When will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? Did he not promise them? Well, you're going to get ready to see. Many of you already know. This is the object of Jesus Christ teaching the 12 disciples about a kingdom and what they're going to do. So naturally, would you not say, hey, Lord, when are you going to restore His kingdom? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all in Judea and in Samaria and in other parts of the earth. And how is that laid out there? Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. Got that? He laid it out just like he said over here in Matthew. So when you get that Holy Spirit, you'll be able to do this. We also know that in doing so, by the time you get to Acts chapter 8, there's a big ripple in that. There's someone's creating havoc amongst that church. And we also know that once that happened, the very ones that Jesus Christ told to do, they went back to Jerusalem, and that's where they stayed. I think about that a lot. Because they didn't do what they said they were supposed to do. But yet, they're going to use other people to do it. Go back to Matthew. Israel, Matthew 13. Israel, in these verses, Israel is at that time scattered in all the world. By Matthew 24:14. They're scattered in all the world. They're scattered amongst all the mankind. And they still are, by the way. And they're scattered all the world. Christ sends them out to call Israel back. After the Lord Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again, He tells them, Holy Spirit's going to come and you're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea. This is what this is all about. He's teaching them and preparing them. And when I'm gone, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go out there and you're going to get a hold of their brothers, the lost Israelites, if you will. Preach that gospel of the kingdom. Draw them back and to where they're supposed to be. That's what Isaiah 66 is all about. That's what Revelation chapter 12, 5, and Revelation chapter 4 talks about that. When it's going to happen over here, there's a group of people that's going to hear that gospel that they're scattered all over the world. Let me ask you something. In this time period, the 70th week of Daniel, why would the nation Israel not be at that city of the great God worshiping their king? Why would they be anywhere else?
Israel.
Yeah, Israel.
They're still rejecting.
Well, who's sitting on the throne during the tribulation period? Okay. Is he pro-Israelite? No. So why would they be scattered in that time period? They're being persecuted. So when that 144,000 comes on the scene, they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They're preaching against that king that's supposed to be sitting, the Antichrist. And they're preaching against him. There's people out there going to believe that 144,000. Just like, believe it or not, if you preach the gospel of the grace of God to people, some people are going to believe it.
Yeah.
You did. You know, you can call yourself a little flock. You know, I call you saints. You know what I mean? You just keep preaching. But we also know that within that 144,000, that there's a man-child there, and I'm not going to get into all that, but Revelation 144,000 goes out amongst the nation, and guess what they get mid-trib here? Guess what happens to them? The 144,000. No, not the 144,000.
They're raptured out here.
So when people get caught up about, oh, the catching away, blah, 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 there's a catching away here that was a part of a mystery program. There's a catching away right here in mid-trib, the 144,000. You know why? They go up there and they're singing a new song. They're singing, there's people around the throne at that point, they're singing the Lord Jesus Christ a new song that they couldn't sing down in here. So when they preach the gospel of the kingdom, stay with me now, they preach the gospel of the kingdom, 144,000, that's for the first 3.5 years.
Right. So the dispensation of grace is raptured out. There's not the dispensation of grace is not being preached at that then. But they're back on the Jewish religion.
Well, yes.
Program.
Well, yes. Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, we're saying, once again, don't get that confused, because we're in the book of Matthew.
That's right.
The book of Matthew has nothing to do with the dispensation of grace of God. Please understand that.
Right.
So when you jump over here into this tribulation period, the gospel of the grace of God is done, gone.
Right.
There is no more grace of God as a dispensation. It's already done over with. And in Revelation 14, here you go. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount of Zion. By the way, that's not on earth. that Zion's not. And with him, 144,000, his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven and a voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard a voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now, does that sound like a rapture to you?
Yep.
It does me. But a lot of people, oh, that dead, no way. Verse 4. These are they which are not defiled with women. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And you can go on, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Hey guys, you got a gospel today. Back it up to Matthew. They had a gospel of that day that's going to be preached over here. And 144,000 is going to preach that gospel, and it's sown, and it is also sown and warned the nations of the earth and the judgments to come. This is what He's preparing them to do. They get raptured out of here, redeemed from the earth, and sing a song that no man could ever sing. I'm thinking, praise God, hallelujah. Because you know something? When you get redeemed from the earth, you're going to be able to sing a song that nobody on this earth can sing. Glory, glory, glory. You know, we sing songs all the time about glory. We have no idea what our body is going to be like. You know, because you know what? I believe half of us, you know, we're so rooted and built up in this earth, it's going to take us twice to jerk us out of here, because I don't want to go. Who's going to have my truck? You know, who's going to take care of my house? Who's going to take care of my little dog? You know what I'm talking about? So we, in our own minds, in our own folks, we cannot comprehend in our own mind what this is saying if you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You can't, because you know why? You're going to cast doubt on it. Ah, that's what that says. But when they're redeemed, and you're redeemed way before this happens. See? And you're called out of here. And you're going to be standing in front of God, the judgment seat of Christ. And then He comes with 144,000. I don't know if it's immediately. I don't know if it's 4 years later when we have a big, election year. Yeah, I don't know those things. At that time, I don't care. I know where I'm at. And He sends... Who? That? He can't touch them, brother. They are sealed, and they you can't touch them. They won't die.
Because they're perfect.
They're out there, and you can't even touch them. And I know there's a group out there that says they part of the 144,000 on this earth, and they the heaven's on this earth, and there's no hell and all that stuff. I'm telling you, half of them's married and got women, and got kids, and these are male virgins. They're priests. Just like they're supposed to be over there, and they're preaching, and they can't be touched. You talk about power.
You know why they can't be touched? For the same reason you can't touch God. You touch God, bang, you're dead. You can't go out there and grab that electric wire. The law's written. You grab that wire, you're dead. I don't care how much you pray before you go up there.
Go to Matthew 25.
It's a law.
Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. They are Gentiles. In that tribulation period, are going to be saved. So, let's read this. 25:31. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Where's that? Look, verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall sit the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. That should ring a bell. That should tell you right off the bat, that's not talking about you, the body of Christ. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when shall we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick, excuse me, I'm getting tongue-tied here, and in prison, and came unto thee? There's questions there. They want to know when we did these things. Let me ask you, when did you do those things? You didn't. So stop acting like we do these things. Somebody standing on the side of the highway and you go and flip them 50 cents. You know, hunger will work for food. You ever asked them? Hey, I need a pen cleaned out here. Come on down here. I got plenty of work. You know, my back's hurting me. I've been there. I've seen these people. But if I got water, if I got sandwich meats that I'm getting ready to go home and not use, guess what I do? I'll feed them. I feel sorry for them. I really do. I do have a heart. And verse 40, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Verse 41. Now, wait a minute. How could the Lord call somebody brethren? Who's he talking to here? People on the right? The sheep, not the goats. So the believers, he's calling them brethren. Then shall he also say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepare for the devils and his angels. By the way, that's not us. For when I was hungry, and you gave me no meat, when I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink, I was a stranger, and you took me in not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visit me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when shall we thee a hundred, and a thirst, a stranger, and naked? And he goes on down there, verse 46. And these shall go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous is unto life everlasting. Who's he talking to there? If there's a group of people, 144,000 preaches to a little group of people, and they believe that, they're raptured up, this people gets persecuted, and they run, they flee. Who would feed them?
Jesus.
Who would comfort them?
Gentiles.
That's what he's talking about. The Gentiles is part of that believing remnant now, and they get saved with that gospel. That's how they get in that gospel over there too. They're taking care of that little flock. They're blessing them. Remember the Abrahamic covenant?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll bless those who bless these. I'll curse those who curse these. So therefore, then they took them in. They seen. And many of us watch. What is that?
It goes right back to the kingdom agent.
Right back to it.
The old gospel.
And if you heard me say this once, you hear me say it 1,000 times. All this taking place back here about them wandering in the wilderness and how they're being fed and how they're being taken care of is a dress rehearsal of what's going to take place right over here.
Right. Absolutely.
It comes to fruition over there. So if you want to study some things that pertaining to you, and how you are in the dispensation of grace of God, and how you are to conduct yourself among unbelievers, the same as believers, how you are to share the gospel, the grace of God, with the, you study the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, correct?
Correct?
Correct. You better hear what I just said. You better say no, preacher, because that's going to get you in trouble when what you're doing today.
Right.
You're not going to be able to feed nobody right now and clothe nobody to get God's blessings. If you don't work, you don't eat. I'm talking men here. Okay? I know you ladies love to work. You love to take care of your hubby. I know that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, there's a different gospel here today, guys. And if you try to apply what we've been saying, then you're going to be an error. You're going to be part of the ignorant brethren out there. That's hundreds and thousands of them. Go back to Matthew 13 right quick. I've got to share this with you before we close. The field, when he talked about, where was we at? Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto the man which soweth good seed in the field." You know where a field is? You know what the field is? The world. Amen. And it first starts in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria. It's got a pattern there. You ever notice when Paul got saved, it's the opposite? It's to the Gentiles, then the kings, then to the Israel. And they're not burning the candle at both ends, by the way. I know it may seem, you know, like, oh, we're going to get everybody. You know, Peter, you start on this end and burn it, and Paul, you start on this end, and we'll just get them all. No. All don't believe, do they? We found that out. The good seed or the little flock in this context here. This is the second parable that we're looking at. The good seed are the little flock, the believers. Jesus Christ is a sower. And he's sowing words. The words from this page, I don't care what dispensation you're in, should land in that heart of who you are and that good soul and take root. And if you you study the Bible and you study dispensationally and you understand how to plow it and water it and cultivate it, it will grow the way God wants it to grow. You are not going to make that seed grow with ignorance. You may think you are. You know, you may think God's trying to tell me do this and this and this, and you're like, well, wait a minute, why ain't it working? Well, I'll tell you what, that's a humble experience. You just sit back and say, you know something, God, you're right. It's not working the way I want it to work. It'll work according to the way God works in you, effectively those that what? Believe. And the tares, according to this, is the counterfeit, the so-called believers. And he's letting them grow together. And the wicked one is the Antichrist, Satan. And the harvest is at the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. He's letting the angels come in and reap the good stuff. Let's talk about over there. During the tribulation period, the little flock of believers are going to endure tremendous persecution. Yay or nay? Yes. The Antichrist will institute a false religion and have counterfeit people among the believing remnant in his attempt to destroy God's plan. Just like the beginning. I always look to the fact that when God told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my firstborn go, and he lets Pharaoh finally gives in and lets him leave, it was just not Israel who left there. It was anybody that wanted to leave under that subjection, under that horror, if you will. So as Moses is being led, leading the children of Israel, you had a group of people over here being led, following them. A counterfeit. And I don't know about you. I want strangers in the land, mixed, all that. I don't know about you. But if I was down in Egypt, listening to all this ungodly stuff, this pagan worship, and was a part of that, and they're partying at night over there after 12 o'clock when Moses would go to bed, you know, me and my flesh would hear that over there. And it would become a hindrance. You with me? That's what he's talking about here. He's allowing that tares, the unbelievers, be in part with the believers to see, test them. You know, he's testing them. Now, I've been around cornfields and wheat fields and all that stuff, tobacco patches. And there, you know, some, you ever see anybody sow beans with corn?
Yeah, it grows right up the stalk.
There's a reason for it. They grow up the stalk, don't they? You go in there and you pick the corn. And while that bean's up that stalk, you can pick your beans, can't you?
Yep.
But you know you're not supposed to do that if you're Israel? You know, Deuteronomy talks about you not let your seed mingle with other seed, and they actually had fences in between rows. You couldn't sow your corn with your beans. But here he's just something different. They will grow together until the harvest. Hey, do you not work with unsaved people? Do you not go out there and try to make a living and do what's right in a world that you know is wrong? Does this ring a bell in a way? And then the separation will be made. The tares will be gathered and burned. Then shall the righteous shine forth. Go to Daniel. We'll close with Daniel 3. Daniel 12. Excuse me. Man, there's some great things to be studied out in the book of Matthew. And I don't know about you guys, if you ever thought about this before, but there's a lot to be had. And when people put you under that bondage and make you believe that this is to you, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Verse 2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." This is what he's trying to get the little flock to understand over in that tribulation period. In my absence, you're going to go through this. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for so many things in our life. We thank you for that we can understand the book of Matthew in a dispensational view. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.